Hello, Indigenous Earthlings. Here we are again, seven revolutions later, balancing on the left side of the Great Divide, balancing into another Express Yourself. I'm Luke Nessler. Happy First Friday, everyone, and welcome to a warm weather First Friday, although it looks kind of like there's a little storm blowing in. Nothing that Carbondalians can't survive, I'm sure. Well, the Town of Recreation, Town of Carbondale Recreation Department sponsors a scavenger hunt coming up soon, and here to tell us about it is Margaret Donnelly, the Health and Wellness and Aquatics Coordinator for the town. Hi, Margaret.
Hello, Luke. How are you?
Good. Welcome back.
Thank you.
For peeps' sake? No, that was last year's
last
name.
Last year's, yeah.
What's this year's name?
This year, it's the second annual Where My Peeps At Photo Scavenger Hunt.
Oh, okay. So what's the concept? Tell me how it works.
It's super fun. We get teams of 2 to 6 people together. It's $20 per team. And they get points for just about everything. So if you come dressed up as a group, so last year we had chickens and we had people with baskets on their heads and... they get extra points, and then we collect at 8:45, and they get their first clue at 9 o'clock, and then the clues all lead them to a hidden stuffed peep. You don't have to eat a bunch of peeps if you don't want to. We do roast them at the end.
Those are really fun.
But you go and you find, we're basically finding hidden stuffed peeps all around town in different locations and getting clues from one to the next, and different peep locations equal different clue points and clue values, and then there will be bonus points. And so you don't necessarily have to run the farthest or the fastest to win. You just have to be the smartest in some cases. So, and then afterwards you have 2 hours to collect as many points as possible. And then we come back at 11 o'clock and we have a raffle prize and we'll announce the winners.
That sounds just like Carbondale. I mean, you don't have to be the strongest or the fastest. You just have to be the smartest. I love that. Are you the one that gets to put all the clues together and hide things?
I do.
Wow.
Yeah. And so this year we actually are highlighting local businesses. So that's a clue if you listen to this program. That helps. And so we have solicited so far 10 different local businesses. We have 6 teams signed up so far. And I'm hoping for at least 15 teams. So I'd still like 5 more businesses who are open from 9 to 11. If you want to host a hiding location, that would be great.
9 to 11 in the morning.
9 to 11, April 15th.
April 15th.
Saturday.
So a week from tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay, that sounds really great.
Yeah.
That sounds really great. How can people join? Do they call you up at the rec center?
So they can call and register at the front desk, or they can register online at carbondalerec.com. Uh-huh. And they click on the team captain has to register. And then the team captains will start getting emails from me around Thursday of next week.
And do teams pay a fee?
It's $20 per team.
Okay.
And the registration deadline is April 13th.
Oh, okay.
Because I do have to write the clues, and I write clues specifically. The first clue is specific to each team.
Oh, I see. So is it the same clue? No, it's a different...
That way we get everybody... So we all start at Soper's Park.
Oh, so there's not a stampede to one site.
Right.
Okay.
So they get a specific clue to their first location, and then from there... They get the list of all the other clues, and so it would behoove them to sit and map out all the clues and find the locations with the map of Carbondale to figure out how far they have to run. Last year, some of the teams did over 6 miles because they didn't think about it.
Oh, okay.
But... Everybody who did it last year had such a great time that we're hoping to grow this event. It's just really fun, a really fun event.
I can imagine. Do you remember when you were a kid, you played Capture the Flag, and then always it seemed like there was a spinoff from that called a scavenger hunt, at least where I grew up. And I remember that it was fun as heck.
Yeah, it's we were just really excited to have this concept because they do one for Bonedale Bike Week as well. It's a little bit different. It's a photo scavenger hunt. So we kind of wanted to expand. And then last year we highlighted local parks, and this year we're highlighting local businesses. I have an idea already for next year of what I want to highlight. But it's a really great event, and the town is really coming to support it. We have some great prizes. We have a two-night stay at the Dandelion Inn. We have a one-night stay at the Cedar Ridge Ranch. We have $100 to the co-op. We have some jewelry. We have a $100 gift certificate for Jewelry Lane, or jewelry from Colby Lane. We have over 23 prizes, and then some of those will. So we have over 23 donating sponsors, and then some of those prizes are multiples.
And
so.
Teams, how many people on a team?
2 to 6.
Okay. And it's just within the town limits?
It's all within the town limits. It's all on foot. And our concept was that we have the Easter egg hunt going on at the same time for kids 1 to 8. And so what happens to family traditions as kids get older? And so we have kids teams up ranging in the 50s to 12 to a couple teams of middle schoolers. So everybody can join in. We have a couple families and their kids, they'll be pushing chariots. We have some people with younger kids, and the younger kids will be on striders. So younger kids can be on striders or bikes, but we ask that everybody else be on foot.
Wow. So it's fun, and you actually get a little exercise in too.
That's the whole point.
That's the point, isn't it?
Yes.
You guys are so good. What a great job you must have. Oh, my God. You get to come up with clues to a scavenger hunt.
I know. And that's the most fun part. So that's why I need the teams to pre-register, because I got to write those clues. Uh-huh. But yeah, I have a great job. Tonight, we're also doing Spring Into Wellness. So we have a table set up. We are just, if you're out and about, we did advertise that the rec center would have their demonstrations on 4th and Main. Due to the weather, we're moving those back to the recreation center. But come on out and join us. Rita Marsh did a great job organizing the event.
That's great. Lots of things going on in Carbondale as usual. So first Friday, you can help them celebrate Spring Into Wellness. And then a week from tomorrow, the scavenger hunt. You said the deadline was the 13th.
The 13th, and the race is on the 15th.
So that's Thursday.
Thursday, correct.
Thursday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And one more time, people can join up how? Either at the rec center itself?
At the rec center itself. They can call me at 510-1280, or they can register online at Carbondale Rec.
Great.
Oh, you can also call me if you have any questions about the pool.
Thanks, Margaret.
Thank you.
All right, stay with us. More to come on Express Yourself. Playful film about loneliness from Norway, A Crisis in a Blizzard on a High Mountain from Germany, and Stoner Mixtapes from the Seattle suburbs. That cinematic combination can only mean one thing. That's right, it's another diverse program at Aspen Shorts Fest. I spoke with the three young directors of these films yesterday about their experience with the Shorts Fest Festival, their films, and their young careers. All three films received their premieres at this Oscar-qualifying festival, and all three will be shown in Carbondale this weekend at the Crystal Theater, with all three directors in attendance at their screenings. Well, I have with me now on the program three young directors involved in Aspen Shorts Fest. We have Frederick Hombelek. Hi, Frederick.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Welcome to Katie and Kay.
Thanks.
Peter Edlund is here, too. He is the director of Mixtape Marauders. Hi, Peter.
Hello, hello.
Welcome.
Good to be here.
And Halfdan Ullmann-Tandel. is here all the way from Norway. He's the director of FANI. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, I wanted to ask you about your Aspen experience. How has it been so far for you?
It's been really good. It's a really, as we said in the car on the way here, it's a really calm and nice and welcoming festival. And you know, with the scenery of Aspen in the background, it gives you good vibes. At least me, as a Norwegian who are used to mountains, this is, you know, feels like home.
Nice, nice. And you, Frederick?
I have to say I feel humbled by the quality of films that are in this competition. So I'm really glad to be part of that. And just astonishing how good the films really are.
And Peter?
It's been incredible. Incredibly scenic, obviously. I've met some amazing filmmakers, including the two gentlemen sitting next to me. I feel like I have to say something negative since no one else has. So I will say, never have I woken up with my eyes and mouth as dry as I have during my time in Aspen. I have a weak constitution. I'm from the Pacific Northwest, so I'm in a death battle with altitude, whatever. that's the realest thing that's been going on. But other than that, it's fairy tale land, beautiful, beautiful scenery and beautiful people, and it's great.
Stay hydrated.
I'm trying, man.
Okay, good. That's the secret. That's the secret. And have you found the networking experiences to be up to par with? Have all of you had previous experience with festivals?
I have some previous experience with festivals, but I'm not very good at mingling. If I'm gonna be honest, but I'm getting better and. The more I drink, the better I get at getting contacts. So,
I have to say, I haven't noticed that you're bad at mingling. Okay, I think you're doing just fine. And yes, I've been to other festivals, and I really have to say, this is one of the best experiences. It's so well organized. They make it very easy for you. And I'm not saying that because they're paying for my room.
Yeah, and I would say they just... it's really set up for casual interaction instead of, capital N networking. So I feel like I've gotten into conversations with people and really interesting things have come out of them, but you don't feel like you're entering into things with an agenda, which is definitely the case at other more networky type things. So yeah, no, it's been really cool.
Nice. Mm. Potential collaborations resulting from this? Who knows, huh?
If you guys are trying to come to Seattle, I mean, it's a beautiful place.
He just said he needs scripts, so, and I'm a script writer, so we'll see.
There we go. Well, Halfdan, let's start with you. You're from Norway.
From Norway.
And you are blessed by a government that supports filmmakers.
Oh, wow. That is okay. Okay, that is open for discussion.
Oh, really?
I guess it's not a lot of money in an Norwegian film. The government is not so keen on supporting with enough money to make it a good industry, because no Norwegian films, except from the really blockbusters, earn anything. We cannot get a Moonlight kind of experience in Norway, or the probability is really low. If you're making an art house film, but for the film I have here, we got funding.
You did,
yeah. Officially, I'm really satisfied with Norwegian Film Institute and the Norwegian funding system.
Well, how does a young filmmaker in Norway? Do you look to the continent? Do you look to England and France?
Yeah, it's been more common now with co-production with Germany, with Germany and Sweden and Denmark, and also some of the Eastern European countries, because there we don't have to pay the workers so much. I have just made film in Norway, per se.
Okay. Mm. Frederick, does Germany support young filmmakers?
It does, and I feel that's really cool, and I can't really imagine making film in the States where it's highly competitive. I mean, it is too in Germany, but it is, I have to say, I'm fairly blessed, you know, getting money from some state funding or something. Although it's not that much, but you know, it's still good to get money.
I don't think I have to ask the American that question.
We all know the answer to that question.
Yeah. Well, how, Peter, have you gotten on the map, so to speak? How are you trying? What's your strategy in this culture and in this marketplace?
I think it just comes down to always trying to be creating on some level. You know, I've done a lot of productions that are very beg, borrow, and steal. I personally fund everything I do. So it's getting enough work to then have money to put into a film project and then not having any money and kind of going through that cyclical process. But yeah, just trying to be working and continuing to kick the ball forward a little bit and expand the scope a little bit with each project.
Can I ask you something? How did you fund Mixtape Marauders?
Mixtape, myself and my producer and editor, Megan Leonard, put in a big chunk of the funds. And for the first time, we went to some family, hat in hand, for this one and said, like, hey, we're only going to do this once, but would you maybe be willing to help us out? And luckily, we have some very, very supportive people in our family and our community who helped us out.
But do private investors support short films in the United States?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure there are examples, but certainly not commonplace.
They don't make money, right?
Yeah, there's not really any way. You know, and with Mixtape, we were in a situation where we were licensing 9 songs for a short film. And we knew the only way to do that and be able to afford that was to establish upfront that there were going to be no efforts made to profit off of the film, because that would have made the licensing fees jump up quite a bit. So we went into this very much eyes wide open to the fact that, you know, it was going to be a losing endeavor financially.
Yeah.
Is crowdfunding an option for any of you down the road, or has it been in the past?
I feel like it's kind of a silver bullet that I'm saving, in the same way that with this film, this was kind of the one where we're like, okay, we're gonna talk to some family members and see if maybe they'd be willing to kick in and help us out. And Kickstarter, it's kind of the same thing. We have avoided it up to this point so that when it feels like the right time, we can fire that bullet, so to speak.
Okay. And what about in Europe? Is crowdfunding an option?
Yeah, some people do it, but it doesn't often gain so much attention. So I haven't tried it, and I'm a bit skeptical, actually, to the crowdfunding thing, because you're selling the bear before you have shot it, so to speak.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a bit insecure about that process, but...
Yeah, me too. I wouldn't do it, I think, because you have to talk so much about the project and the movie, and you know, for a short film that's maybe 10 minutes or 20 minutes, you're revealing the thing. I'm always thinking, you know, there's no way this movie is going to make any money. So why would people invest in it? I mean, I wouldn't feel too comfortable, you know, taking the money with knowing I couldn't repay them.
I agree.
But if you had a feature film project, would you consider it? If you needed to.
Maybe, yeah.
Interesting. Let's talk about Fanny.
Yeah.
So much of that film is dependent on those large liquid eyes of that star. Yeah. How did you bring that performance out of her?
First of all, she did a lot of... She is a fantastic person, you know, who brought a lot of herself into this. And we also rehearsed a lot. We had a rehearsal period for like 3 or 4 months prior to the shoot, where we tried out a lot of different things. We really experimented with different methods, you know, not in the book, but like I invented different methods. Something worked, something didn't. And together we, you know, we came up with this. Yeah, we created this person. It was a hybrid of me and her, sort of. and I'm really grateful for everything she put in into this.
That scene of her in the mask where she talks about her experience with a relative.
Yeah.
Did that, what a brilliant move to, I mean, it just reinforced the creepiness of what she's talking about. Yeah. Did that come up in the rehearsals, the idea of using that mask?
The idea of using the mask did not come up in the rehearsals. That was, you know, my idea. But the story was actually Christine, which is the name of the actress. It was her contribution on the third round of casting, because in the third round I gave all the actresses who was left in the, you know, competition. I gave them the task to tell something about themselves. And it were not could be truth and it could not be true, but she told that story and I was kind of blown away, and we used that in the film. And I don't know if it's true or not.
How about that? Did you write the film?
Yeah,
you did. Interesting. Describe the film for me. For some, there's a listener who says, there's somebody that comes up to you and says, why should I go see your movie? What's your elevator pitch? Why should they go see Fanny? What does it offer the film?
It's maybe better for them to answer that, because it's a playful film about loneliness. I think it mixes some humor and some observations about loneliness and in a playful, colorful way.
Uh-huh. A playful film about loneliness. Mm. That's a great description.
Yeah.
Huh, how about that? Mm. All right, well, let's talk about Mountain Fever. I didn't know Mountain Fever was a thing. Is that something that actual mountaineers experience sometimes?
I think so. I mean, altitude sickness, we've experienced it all.
Okay.
We're close to getting the mountain fever, you know, a couple of days more. We might as well.
I have the mountain fever.
He already has it, so yeah.
So tell me about Mountain Fever, the film. What is the film about?
The film is about a group of alpinists stuck in a snowstorm at night, and suddenly one of them is reported missing and have to conduct a very dangerous search to get him. Look for him.
And you cram a lot of really nail-biting tension in 6 minutes, 7 minutes, I guess.
It's 7:50, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. That's a good compliment. Yeah, that was my first and major goal, just to have a entertaining movie that's, you know, packed with atmosphere and a world where people actually come with me into that world and are glad to sit through the 7 or 8 minutes.
Well, really close shots of the actors, and I think that's what contributes to that tension, is because there's no room for histrionics, there's no room for emoting. It's all right there in their face because they're crammed together in the tent, and the things that they're talking about are life and death matters.
True. Exactly. It was really, you know, a very small tent, so the close-ups sort of came out of necessity, but I also wanted them, and I cast them specifically for their faces, too. And, the things they're talking about, they are life and death matters, but I hope also that, you know, the irony can be felt, because it's not a movie that is taken to be too seriously.
Well, we probably shouldn't express or discuss the irony because we don't want to spoil it, do we? Mixtape Marauders, all about music.
Yes.
And I understand that some of it's autobiographical.
Certainly to a degree. I wrote it with my brother, and I think there are definitely parts of both of us in those characters. I'll say, just as an aside, my brother is one of the leads in the film. The other lead is his roommate in real life. They both go to Fordham University. They're studying acting. And they came home for a week before the film, and they're playing drug dealers and kind of layabouts. And they for a week leading up to the shooting, they just drove around Stanwood, which is my hometown, and smoked weed and were just kind of useless. And my mom came up to me really concerned a few nights before we started shooting and like grabbed me by the shoulders and looked me in the eyes and was like, is this Ian now? Is he playing a character or is this, is he really this person? And I was like, I don't know. We'll find out.
How about that? Well, the thing that's great about mixtapers, people who make mixtapes.
Sure, yeah.
Nobody ever accused a mixtaper of not knowing what he or she liked. Is that right?
I mean, strong opinions, definitely. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, that in the film, Usher comes up with his, what's the tune?
Usher Climax.
Usher Climax, that's right.
Yes, yes, that figure. And I mean, in some ways, that was one of the initial reasons why Ian and I wanted to make the film, was just to really put people in a situation where they have to listen to our thoughts about Usher Climax. And yeah, if we accomplish anything, making people listen to that song and really just think deeply about it, that would be the greatest success for me.
Well, lots of really little funny asides. I'm at one point, one of the characters says, well, what's the ballad ratio of your mixtape?
Yeah, I mean, and I've definitely had those conversations, and I was a person who made mixtapes both for friends and for myself, and in the short, it's in a romantic context, and I mean, I guess the ultimate joke is that for all of this consideration, it doesn't matter because it's a terrible idea. I mean, no, I feel like no relationship started because of a strong mixtape. I mean, if the person already likes you, maybe they'll like listen to the mixtape and be like, sure, okay, this is good. But I mean, nobody was like, well, I kind of thought you were the worst, but now that I listen to this mixtape, everything makes sense and you're amazing. You know, it doesn't really work like that, in my experience, at least.
That's funny. And there's some belittling of CDs going on in your movie.
Yeah, but it comes from a place of love. I mean, I love CD. I think they're incredibly disposable, right? They're just kind of cheap and you can buy a million of them. And but I think that's part of where my fascination comes from, because you can just take them and beat the hell out of them, and you can find a CD that's been sitting underneath your car seat for 3 years and put it in and get like this really specific look into whatever your subjective state was at the point you made that mix, you know? So it's like, man, I was so emo 2 years ago, you know? So yeah, I really love CDs. And I feel like understandably, they don't have quite the same nostalgia factor for a lot of people that like vinyl or even tapes do.
Yeah. Yeah, I made a mixtape in the 1970s for my first girlfriend, and it worked.
It worked, okay. Well, you were better at it than me. Then,
but, it was pretty weepy. Cat Stevens, Gordon Lightfoot, all that kind of stuff.
I mean, that's kind of cheating. I mean, I feel like you want to, like, challenge you want to be really, you know, aggressive. That's probably why, hearing myself say this, this is probably why I failed. I remember I made a mix CD for a girl that I liked, a mixtape, as I like to refer to it, in high school, and I ended it, the last song on it was Young Jeezy, Crazy World. And I just remember giving it to her, and then just like 24 hours later, like the agony of why did I do that? Like, I know that she doesn't like that she's not going to like that song. And that's why I did it, and I don't know what compelled me to do it, but wow, I think we're getting way too deep into my psyche right now. Pump the brakes.
Well, your movie, Mixtape Marauders, is begging for a sequel or a feature-length presentation. Is that an idea that you're working with?
It is, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're working on a feature right now. The idea is to tell a story in three acts in 3 days. So basically the first day is at the beginning of the summer and is filled with optimism. The second act is set at the end of the summer and is full of, you know, missed opportunity and shame. And the third act is kind of...
I don't know if you're setting this right.
The third day is set kind of in the dead of winter, when these two characters have kind of broken apart and come back together and reconcile. And for me, it really wanted to dig into those friendships that are very codependent and very kind of intense, but can only exist within a very specific space and time, because obviously it's not really sustainable to sit in cars and smoke weed with the same person every day for your entire life. So, you know, you have to break apart and how you deal with that.
Interesting. Frederick, what do you have in mind for your near future?
Definitely also a feature. I just shot a new short film a day before I came here, so that's in the can and needs to be edited. And
do you do your own editing?
Yes.
You do.
It's just too much fun. I have to do it. It's too much fun. I mean, I have a friend who's a really good editor, and I'll cut the thing and I'll show it to him, and we mangle it together maybe, and then it's done. Uh-huh. But editing is too much fun.
So anyway, your feature film coming.
Oh yeah, the feature film. I actually wrote my first feature film script, and I thought I could try to make this into my first feature film. But then the opportunity was there to sell it actually to German TV with a great director I like and a producer, and I said, oh, let's do that. You know, I can use the money to make one or two more short films and then have another script. Yeah.
So are short films useful in advancing your technical skills or your writing skills, or why do a short film?
For me, the short film is a fantastic, you know, tool to learn learn filmmaking, because you can take chances and make a lot of mistakes and really learn from that without too much money at stake, without concerning about, you know, how many people going to see your film and things like that. But at the same time, it's kind of important that you make good short films, because in Norway at least it's really important to make two or three good short films to get funding for a feature.
I see.
But for me, short film is a beautiful format. It's really a place where you can play and use a lot of try a lot of cool things. Hmm. Hmm.
Peter, what about you? Is that how short films work for you? Is that your intention?
Yeah, I think you said it really well. There's just an undeniable freedom to both not having to sustain a story for 90 minutes, really being able to write to whatever the material dictates. And I think just the ability to experiment and to try things and to use it as a lab. It's an incredible tool in that regard, certainly.
I suppose it's useful as a sort of a calling card too, in the industry.
Yeah.
I mean, and especially with mixtape, because we do have these aspirations to make a feature. You know, our hope is that it can give a sense of tone, give a sense of style, give a sense of the characters, and be used as kind of a proof of concept for any interested parties in giving us money.
Huh.
But it's probably not going to be the government, as we talked about earlier.
Yeah, especially these days. Halfdan, what do you have in mind for the near future for you and your art?
I'm writing on two features now, they are in, you know, development in the Norwegian Film Institute. So my plan is to do them as soon as I get enough money to do them. And that's really, really, I have a producer and everything, and I'm really, you know, I'm really ready for making a feature now.
Cool.
It feels right after making a couple of long short films. I have the energy to, you know, take it a step further.
Mm. Nice. That sounds really good. Mm. Well, your film, Fanny, plays on Saturday, Program B here in Carbondale. Are you planning to be there for that for a Q&A afterwards?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good. Cool.
I heard, I think so, at least.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Peter, yours also plays on Saturday, doesn't it?
Same program, yeah. And
yeah.
We're both going to be here, I can say, with pretty high confidence.
Yeah. And it's a really great program.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Yes,
it
no
is.
No doubt about it. What's it called? Brave New World. It's not your parents' world anymore.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
We're taking it back, man.
Good for you. It's about time somebody did. And then, Fred, your film shows Sunday, Program C, here in Carbondale.
That's right. Go, come and see it.
So is this the first opportunity for you guys to see an audience reaction to your film?
For me, this is the second time, but the first time was in Germany. And since it's subtitled here, obviously, I'm curious to find out how this will work with American audiences.
Uh-huh. And Peter, you?
Yeah, this was the first time seeing it with an audience, which was very fun, very scary. And looking forward to getting to do that again on Saturday.
Your show last night up in Aspen, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, both of ours did. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And how was the reception? What was your impression of that?
It was really good. I mean, I don't want to spoil it too much, but we come after the literal darkest short ever made. So that was really interesting to just like have that lead into our film. It was really cool. I was really into it. But yeah, it was a really incredible program. I mean, I loved Fanny and the other, was it three more films?
Yeah.
They're in it.
Call of Cuteness.
Yeah, and, I mean, I will say there is there's like a YouTube Cronenberg among us in this program. Yeah, and yeah. That's all I'll say. Yeah. But
she's a 22-year-old girl from Germany.
Yeah,
man. It's wild. You need to come check this out. Yeah.
Wow, how about that? And you, Halfton?
Yeah, it was really good, you know. Nice. Yeah, exciting. It was the first time we had a world premiere of Fanny yesterday. We had one screening in Oslo for Korean friends, which was good. But this was really, you know, exciting about the subtitles and everything, and how American people, you know, take the humor, and if they don't take the humor, why? And, you know, make those little self-conscious thoughts in your head. It was good, I was kind of nervous, but it went well, and I'm relieved now, actually.
Well, I want to thank all three of you for joining me today. Frederick Hambelek, the director of Mountain Fever, thank you.
Well, thanks for having us.
Peter Edlund, the director of Mixtape Marauders, thank you for joining us.
Of course, my pleasure.
And Halfdan Ulmantondo from Norway, the director of Fanny, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And as of 2 hours ago, there were still tickets available at Bonfire Coffee in downtown Carbondale for both nights' programs. And the ED of Aspen Film, John Thew, assures me that there are often, if not always, some tickets available at the door of the Crystal Theater just prior to each performance. It is 4:38. You're tuned to the Express Yourself show on KDNK. Stay tuned. We have Lookout Mountain Showdown coming up next on KDNK. right, we're back. And now comes a new band that I just became aware of in the last several days. Lookout Mountain Showdown from Glenwood Springs. And I've been listening to them warm up, and they're sounding great. You guys are going to love it. They take the stage tonight for First Friday over at Fat Tie. Please welcome Parker Whittington on the Mando. Hi, Parker.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Always good.
Also here is Mac Benning. He's on the banjo.
Hi.
Ashton Toffer on the bass.
Hello, how's it going?
Good. And Harris Jackson on the guitar. Hi, Harris.
Hey there.
Good to have you guys back. A gig tonight in downtown Carbondale. Life is good.
Hell yeah.
Big time.
Nice. You guys are performing original music, all instrumental. I'd love to hear some of it. Let's get right into it.
Okay. Here's all a tune written by our own Mac Bean right here.
This one's called Blue Sky.
Sounds great. Yeah. How do you guys do that?
Lots of practice.
You can tell you guys are practicing a lot, aren't you?
Yeah. About four days a week.
Wow.
4 days a week.
How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Get up close to that mic when you talk, man. So you guys are just starting to get gigs. I see you have a couple down in Delta and one
right.
opening at the Belly Up in a few weeks.
Yeah, we're opening for our friends Liver down the river. Should be a fun show. Good times had for all.
Nice.
Yeah,
we hit CB Tavern in Delta May 6th and May 25th down there.
And I saw something on Main Street in Glenwood, but there is no Main Street in Glenwood. So I don't know where I saw that, but it's not right. Do you have one coming in Glenwood?
Not that I know of.
No. Okay, so
with another band, maybe I put the wrong side up.
So, what are you guys? What's the showdown on Lookout Mountain? Is it like?
It's a rough place.
It's real dirty up there.
All weird things, banjo players and guitars. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, how long has Lookout Mountain Showdown been playing together?
I'd say about a month and a half now.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Holy cow, what made you decide to do it?
Harris here called me up on the Facebook and asked me if I could play a gig at Fat Tie, and then I hit up Park over here, and everyone knew Ashton somehow. I missed the mark on that one, but
everyone
now I know
Ashton.
Him. And, yeah, and here we are.
Nice, that's sounding awfully good. Who writes the music, all of you together?
Yeah, every single person writes a different song.
They all kind of seem to make the same style somehow.
Yeah. Well, I'm hearing a lot of things. I hear a little, of course, a little bit of bluegrass in there with the banjo and the mando, but I'm hearing some gypsy jazz in there. And
that's
I'm
right.
Hearing some jam band kind of influence in there, too. So do you guys just take off forever with jams when you're playing live?
Oh, we try to keep it pretty structured.
Okay.
Very much so. Yeah.
Occasionally.
We have some late nights in the dungeon over there, but
oh yeah, things get a little wild.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, how about another tune?
Definitely. Sounds good.
Yay.
This is written by Ash and Tom for himself.
And this one doesn't have a name yet. I need to come up with a name for it. For now, it's Ashton's tune.
Oh, that is so sweet. Lookout Mountain Showdown playing live here in the studios of KDNK today and playing tonight over at Fat Thai. It's sounding awfully good. It's going to sound good over in Fat Thai.
That's the plan.
Yeah, yeah. What else is the plan? What's up for you guys?
We got some bluegrass stuff going on. We got some covers, some nice country western stuff, and a lot of fun to be had by all.
So at some point, some vocals happening
in
your band?
Absolutely, yeah.
Who's the singer?
Myself and Harris over here are lovely vocalists.
Okay, but when you're doing this kind of thing, the original work, it's all instrumental.
Oh, we're working on some.
Okay,
some tunes. Here
that's
and
good.
Yeah.
And you say they're country-ish tunes.
Country-ish, yeah. We got some
Waylon, some. What we got a Willie song in there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Some Merle. Got some Dead, I think. One or two, I don't know.
No Dead originals.
No Dead, I hope.
Don't worry.
Sorry.
It sounds like maybe he wants to have a little
we
Dead.
Might have to.
Well, you have to, don't you? I mean, isn't that required?
That's like, yeah, the world of music, right?
Yeah, all
right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, if they're starting in the Grateful Dead in college, then surely you can cover in a bar the Grateful Dead.
So.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm sure the people will appreciate that. Yeah.
Hey, I think we've got enough time for one more tune.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool.
We'll try it.
Lookout Mountain Showdown right here in KDNK.
Right on. Here's a tune I wrote called Romania. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that sounds great. Lookout Mountain Showdown playing tonight over at Fat Tie. Thanks, guys. Sounding really great. Keep it going, all right?
Thank you very much. Thank you,
thanks so much, KDNK.
All right, that's going to do it for today's Express Yourself. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Pulse of the Planet and the news coming right up.